Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be heading over to Idaho for a case that really gets into the weeds of criminal law. More specifically, what it actually means to, like, aid and abet a crime.
Oh, yeah.
This one's got some twists and turns you won't believe. We're talking tax stamps for illegal drugs.
Yeah.
Prosecutorial misconduct, really the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
So strap in.
This case really digs into those gray areas, you know, like intent.
Yeah.
How even a seemingly small role can get you in some big legal trouble.
Exactly. And the case we're looking at is State v. Romero Garcia.
Okay.
This is an Idaho case from 2003.
Oh.
So picture this December 2000, Ketchum, Idaho.
Okay.
Classic undercover operation going down the law enforcement is using a confidential informant to buy cocaine from a known dealer.
Yeah, you know, those confidential informant operations, they're pretty standard. They're often like the key piece in building a case against drug dealers.
Absolutely. So enter our guy, Mario Romero Garcia.
Okay.
Now, he's not the dealer himself, but he's the one who sets the whole thing up. Brings the informant to the dealer's apartment and even hangs out while the whole transaction's going down.
Wow.
Ounce of cocaine for $800. Mm-hmm. Pretty standard drug deal.
Yeah.
Romero Garcia gets $200 for his trouble, so you'd think, okay, open and shut case, right?
Yeah, you'd think so, right? Just another drug trafficking case?
Right. But here's where it takes a turn.
Okay.
Romero Garcia is convicted not just of trafficking, but also of aiding and abetting the failure to put tax stamps.
What?
Yes, tax stamps.
Tax stamps.
On that cocaine.
I did not see that coming.
I know, right? With tax stamps on cocaine, I'm lost already.
So it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But it's real thing. We'll dig into like the history and the reasoning behind those a little bit later. But first, let's focus on that aiding and abetting charge.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. Romero Garcia didn't actually sell the drugs.
Right.
And there's no evidence he knew anything about these missing tax stamps.
Yeah, he was just the middleman.
Right. So how does that equal aiding and abetting? That's the big question. And it really gets to the core of how the law looks at aiding and abetting.
Okay.
The prosecution, they didn't need to prove. Romero Garcia personally handled the drugs or even knew about the tax stamps.
Okay.
All they had to show was that he acted with the same intent as the dealer, the main guy,
right,
you know.
The principal.
In the actual crime itself.
So just being the middleman doesn't automatically mean you have the same intent as the dealer, does it?
Well, that's where the court's reasoning gets interesting.
Okay.
They basically said that by setting up the deal, connecting the buyer and the seller, you know, Romero Garcia basically gained what they call constructive possession of the cocaine.
Okay.
It's like he was holding it himself, legally speaking.
Interesting.
And that triggers the tax stamp issue.
So even though he never physically touched the drugs, his involvement in the deal made him responsible for those missing tax stamps.
Exactly.
That seems like a stretch.
It does seem like a big leap. And that's why this case is so important. It establishes that someone can be found guilty of aiding and abetting this tax stamp thing without even knowing about the tax stamps just by being involved in the drug deal.
Wow. That's a pretty wide net.
It is a wide net.
It seems like anyone even remotely involved in a drug deal could be on the hook for all kinds of things they don't even know about.
You're getting it now.
Yeah.
But before we get into all that, I think we need to talk about the elephant in the room, or I guess the tax stamp in the evidence bag.
Right. The fact that there are tax stamps for illegal drugs.
Yeah.
Who comes up with this stuff?
Yeah. It sounds like something out of like a gangster flick.
Right.
But the idea of taxing illegal stuff, it's not new.
Oh, really?
It goes back to Prohibition.
Oh, wow.
You know, back then, the government needed a way to, like, get money from the whole illegal booze market.
Right.
So they just slapped a tax on it.
I figured, hey, if people are going to break the law anyway, right?
Exactly. Might as well get a cut.
Might as well get a cut.
And it worked.
Really?
Brought in a ton of cash.
Huh.
Then fast forward to the 80s. The war on drugs is going strong.
Right.
And guess what they do?
What?
They pull out that old Prohibition trick and use it on drugs.
Interesting. So I'm guessing drug dealers weren't exactly lining up to file their taxes, though.
You got it. Right.
Of course, most drug deals, they just happen under the table.
Right.
But here's the thing. Possessing illegal drugs without those tax stamps, that's a separate crime.
So it's not really about the taxes then, is it?
Nope.
It's about having another way to go after people in the drug trade.
You nailed it. It gives prosecutors more options.
Wow.
And like we saw in Romero Garcia, they don't even need to prove you knew about the tax stamps to get a conviction.
It's like a trap door.
It is.
You think you're just involved in a simple drug deal and bam, you get hit with all these extra charges you didn't even know existed.
Exactly. And this is what's so important about aiding and abetting the law, says you can be part of a crime without knowing all the legal details.
So in this case, ignorance isn't bliss. Not always, especially with aiding and abetting.
Right.
What matters is, did you knowingly take part even if you weren't the one calling the shots or doing the crime?
So this case really shows how even a small role in something illegal can have huge consequences.
Definitely.
It makes you think you need to be really careful about who you're with and what you get involved in.
Absolutely. Even just being near something illegal can get you in trouble. And speaking of trouble, remember how the prosecutor in Romero Garcia's trial made those comments?
Oh, yeah, about his immigration status and that he didn't testify. That seemed really unfair.
Yeah, it raised some eyebrows for sure. The court said those comments didn't change the guilty verdict.
Okay.
But it's a good reminder that prosecutors have to be super careful about what they say in court.
I mean, it seems obvious you shouldn't try to sway the jury with unrelated information.
You'd think so, right? But sometimes things just slick out, you know?
Yeah.
And even small comments can have a big impact on a case, especially if it goes to appeal.
So what's the lesson for prosecutors here?
Follow the rules. Stick to the facts. Don't try to win no matter what.
What about the defense attorneys?
For them, Romero Garcia shows how important it is to watch out for any sign of prosecutorial misconduct.
Okay.
If something feels wrong, speak up, bring it to the court's attention.
It's a game of strategy on both sides.
Everyone needs to be on their toes now. Before we wrap up Romero Garcia, I want to talk about constructive possession. Remember how we said Romero Garcia was in possession of the cocaine, even though he never actually touched it?
Yeah, that whole idea was confusing.
Well, it comes up in lots of legal situations, not just drug cases. It basically means you can be responsible for something even if you're not physically holding it.
So like what? Give me an example.
Okay, say you have a storage unit.
Okay.
You have the key and the right to go in there.
Right.
Legally, you're in possession of everything inside, even if you haven't seen it.
So it's about control then?
Yeah, exactly. Control over something, even if you don't have it in your hands right now. And this is where it gets tricky, because constructive possession can be used in so many different ways.
Mm.
It's important to know how it works and how it could affect you legally.
This whole case has been a deep dive into legal rabbit holes.
It has.
We've covered drug tax stamps, aiding and abetting, prosecutorial conduct, and now constructive possession. It's a lot.
It is. And believe it or not, we're not done yet. There's still more to unpack in Romero Garcia, including some key takeaways for lawyers and law students. So stick around for the last part of this deep dive.
Okay, we're back and ready to finish up our deep dive into State v. Romero Garcia. We've gone through some pretty crazy legal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tax stamps on cocaine, constructive possession.
It's been quite the journey, hasn't it?
It really has. And as we sort of close the book on this case, I think it's important to take a step back and, you know, look at the bigger picture. What does Romero Garcia mean for like the future of drug crime prosecution?
Yeah, that's a great point. This isn't just some theoretical legal problem. It has real world consequences. I think one of the biggest takeaways here is that prosecutors, they've got a powerful new tool. They can use that aiding and abetting charge for drug tax stamp violations, even if they can't prove the person knew about the stamps.
So it's like a secret weapon?
Kind of. It's a way to catch people off guard, and it raises questions about, you know, is it really fair?
Yeah.
You know, if someone doesn't know about these tax stamps, how are they supposed to not get in trouble for something they didn't even know existed?
It does feel like a bit of a no-win situation. Like, even being a little bit involved in a drug deal could get you in trouble for this tax thing.
That's a point a lot of legal experts and defense attorneys have been thinking about ever since this case came out.
Right.
Is it right to punish someone for a crime they weren't aware of?
Right.
Does it make people afraid to even be around anyone involved with drugs because they're scared of getting caught up in it all?
Yeah, it seems like we're getting into some ethically gray areas here.
Yes.
On one hand, I get it. Anyone messing with drugs is part of the problem and should take some responsibility. But punishing someone for something they didn't even know was wrong just doesn't seem right.
It's tough. There aren't any easy answers. The people who support this approach, they say we have to be strict about drugs. Zero tolerance is the best way to stop it.
It's that old debate, individual rights versus keeping everyone safe.
Exactly. And Romero Garcia really brings that to the forefront.
And this debate is going on in courtrooms all over the country, right?
All the time. And maybe a higher court will take a look at it someday and give us some clearer rules on how aiding and abetting works with these tax stamp cases.
So things could change.
For sure. Legal precedents, they're always being challenged and reinterpreted. As our views on drugs change, the laws will probably change too.
It shows that the law is always evolving.
Exactly. Always trying to keep up with new challenges and ideas.
I think today we've given our listeners a lot to think about. Romero Garcia is a perfect example of why criminal law is so interesting and always changing.
I completely agree. So to wrap up, what would you say is the big takeaway from all this for our listeners, especially those in the legal field?
I think Romero Garcia is a warning. It shows that even being a little involved in something illegal can have big consequences. And it's important to stay up to date on the law and understand the ins and outs of aiding and abetting.
Well said. And for everyone else, it's a reminder that the legal world is full of surprises. You might think you know the rules, but there are always these hidden complexities and unexpected turns.
So next time you see a drug bust on the news, remember, there might be more to it than you see. There could be hidden charges, legal loopholes, a whole web of people involved that you don't realize at first.
You got it. And with that, I think we've come to the end of our deep dive into State v. Romero Garcia. We hope you found it as interesting and thought-provoking as we did.
Definitely. And until next time, keep those legal minds sharp, and remember, justice is a journey, not a destination.